Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Happy Easter Monday on the Mike O'Mara Show. We're delighted to have you with us, and we are here. We are very excited. I hope everybody had a lovely Easter weekend, and I will tell you something about my layout here. My layout here in the studio, my wife is the one who gets full credit for decluttering my studio, but if you saw my cables, you know what? I'm going to take a quick picture. I'm going to send it up to Oscar.
Oh, great.
And I'll share with the team.
I'm going to show you what I look like down here, because it's really getting to be silly. It's really.
Did she declutter, though?
She totally decluttered. Okay. I showed you the room. I could take down my little screen, and but there are a lot of baskets with multiple pieces of equipment and multiple cable and
when you
Velcro
started,
tape and stuff like that. I had a design at one point that I was going to be organized.
But in the beginning of the podcast, really, if you took that backdrop down, it looked like Andy Rooney's office in 60 Minutes. There are typewriters and clutters, stacks of books, things and whatnot. You know.
Whatnot.
Whatnot. Lots and lots of whatnot, Mike.
Have a boss birthday, Rob.
Mike, that's very kind of you, but it's not my birthday.
It's my mother's birthday today, and I'm on Facebook putting out a little hearts are with you, happy birthday, Mom. I didn't want to do the whole, it's been 3 years. Hard to believe, 3 years since my mom passed away. She would have been, are you ready for this?
Yeah.
This is how old, this tells me I'm old, 99.
Wow.
That she had me.
No,
that
wait,
she
really?
Had me at 39. She had me at 39. Yeah.
But still, that's wow. I had no idea. That's crazy.
Yes. Yes. She, so I put a nice little thing, and then I'm looking down at the birthday. Somehow I got your automated thing that you figured out early on Facebook, and you send a birthday greeting to every one of your friends on their birthday.
You
got some program that you didn't do it. Facebook did it for you, and you latched onto that, and so now you put a little insincere greeting on 500 birthdays, and today is a heavy birthday.
There was a lot of birthdays today. It seemed like there was maybe 25 of them today. But what happened is, it's always been
discovered.
To
walk us through the process. I want to know how you found that, how you did it, what you do with it.
I think we all have it.
Well, there's Facebook has always.
Well, I'm sure we all have it. Yes. I mean, but I don't do it. I don't utilize it. You know,
Facebook has always told you which of your friends are having a birthday. Yes. And in the old days, when it started, you would actually have to go down the list and click open each of their pages to write on.
You never did that.
I did it every time.
Remember,
you didn't go through everybody's page.
We broke him down. He would copy and paste.
There was a list, and then you would click, and you'd have to open, like, if there was 12 birthdays, you'd open 12 windows, and then you'd do the copy and paste. But now it's easy. Now there's just you.
Well,
click
I
on
ran
it,
into your boss birthday tsunami today, which was just everywhere. It drove me absolutely nuts. Oscar, I sent you that
picture
of my incredibly organized studio.
Here we go.
Here, this is what it looks like.
It seems
complete
to me
complete with multicolors.
Let's see.
There is a method to this madness. First off, is that your new?
Wow, it looks like a Pollock.
Your
painting.
Processor.
Well, that I've had for a long time.
Yeah, we've never seen it. We're up here. So
that's been my processor for a very, very long time.
My question to you, and we'll send this over to Pony here for a show pick.
Not going to accidentally hit any volume controls with that configuration.
Yeah, but that's how are you, if everybody remember, what was that one movie with Catherine Zeta-Jones where she's going through lasers and her butt's up in the air?
Oh, and it had Sean Connery in it as well.
Yeah, Entrapment. So the set of Entrapment had less obstacles when Catherine Zeta-Jones had to put her butt and her torso and her body.
But I can give you Barry White and Ginger interchangeably with a
good.
With a press of a button if you'd like me to do that.
Please, start with Barry, please. Start with Barry White.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Barry.
Hey, how's it going? Hi, how are you? What's happening?
Is Ginger there?
Hi, guys. How are you? It's Ginger.
There you go.
Yeah, you go. Fantastic.
Hi, Ginger.
Hi, Barry.
Man, you're looking hot today.
Thank you, big boy. Oh my God. What?
The line of sight to your processor is at least at best questionable.
Yeah, what you need is maybe one of those
one
of those rear view mirrors they put on bicycle helmets.
Yes.
So you can see
Mr. O'Mara doesn't like cables.
No, he doesn't.
And Jennifer, right, when did we start going ginger?
No, we're done. Jennifer's gone. Sorry.
Okay,
Jennifer. Microphone's put down. Don't feel like Monday, Jennifer. Easter Monday, Jennifer. But yeah, it's a little messy, so I'm sorry about that.
We'll
but I wanted
right.
to
get
share
there.
It
we'll
with
get
you.
There.
You know, it's a question of having 10 feet of cable for something that's requiring 2 feet.
They don't make it easy. Cables tend to come in the lengths of like 6 inch, 3 feet, or 10 feet. And what you usually need is like a 4 foot, and it's just not an option.
Or you would want more cable just in case you need to repurpose that type of equipment.
Well, let me ask you this.
Yes.
And let me turn this up because, hold on. This isn't good either. I'm sorry. I'm messing with everything. It's Monday. There we go. There, that makes me feel better.
There you go.
How's that? Now you can hear every creak and click and all that.
Hey, we're here.
Hey, everybody. Been doing it a long time. Still have a microphone in front of my... Hey, you know what movie I watched over the weekend?
What's that?
During this opening stream of consciousness segment on the program.
Was it a biblical movie?
No, it is the most depraved, horrific, terrible movie. It's probably been out 30 years.
Hmm.
The Devil's Rejects, the Rob Zombie movie.
Ooh.
Oh, I've never seen that.
The only redeeming thing in that movie is that Brian Posehn gets killed. That's the only thing I truly enjoy in that movie. But it is just so depraved. It's so indescribably depraved. And it makes me wonder about his mind and what he's all about. Is Rob Zombie still a thing? Is he still making movies at all?
He is currently, believe it or not, working on a do you say biopic or biopic? I hear it both ways.
I'm not sure what you're talking about.
A biographical
motion
picture.
I would call it
picture.
A biopic.
Okay.
That's what
who?
I like. He's working on a biopic of Groucho Marx, of all
really?
Things. It's a weird fit. And he's working with this guy named Steve Stolier, who was Groucho's private secretary during the last 3 years of Groucho's life. So it's going to sort of tell the story of Groucho's decline. But I'm interested in that topic.
That's fun. I like that right away.
But it's weird. It seems a weird fit that Rob Zombie would be doing a Groucho Marx biopic.
Well, I think in The Devil's Rejects, if I'm not mistaken, mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that he is in that movie, that he's the skinny guy with the long hair. He's the arch villain. Mm-hmm. But then he's got these blind. Karen Black was in one of his movies. I don't think she was in The Devil's Rejects, but they have these women who are just so nasty and laughing when they
just
kill people.
Just like in The Devil Wears Prada.
No, nothing like The Devil Wears Prada.
Well, there had women that were nasty and mean.
Well, Miranda Priestly, and by the way, you've hit on a film that I enjoy.
Because
you know, when you think fashion industry, you think Mike O'Mara. That's the way I look at it. Nothing quite says me like a Prada bag and some Jimmy Choo's when I'm wearing my pumps. But that movie's spectacular. I keep watching. The only thing that sucks about Devil Wears Prada is the boyfriend from Entourage.
Adrian Grenier.
Oh God, I'm so glad he's not a thing anymore.
Why
with his
was he
cutesy
even
little
in
face.
That movie?
Oh, he's just so terrible.
Right?
He's a chef. That is a guy that probably for most of his adult life he could like twitch at a woman, and then she would just go, "Please jump in my bed. Please jump in my bed." And he's that way about everything, even on screen. Entourage, he was like that.
Yeah.
He was playing. That was his character. But at the same time, the guy just. Oh, it leaves me cold. He really
I'm not
leaves
seeing
me
Rob
cold.
Zombie.
All of the men in Devil Wear Prada are too pretty slicky boy. They're for my taste.
I'm not seeing Rob Zombie as a cast member in The Devil's Rejects, unless he could have been an uncredited cameo.
Well, it's not a cameo because he's in there the whole time. Who's in The Devil's Rejects?
You have Sherry Moon Zombie plays Baby, Sid Haig, Bill Moseley, Danny
Sid Trey. Haig, I think, is the clown man.
He's bald.
If you look up Sid Haig.
Yeah.
Sid Haig. Rob.
Oh.
What?
Oh, Rob, if we ever do another live show, I'd love you to dress as Sid Haig. There's a character. What did Sid Haig play in the movie?
It says Captain... they interrupted here. Captain... Finding it now. Captain Spaulding. Now, that's weird because that was Groucho's name in the movie Animal Crackers. So maybe Zombie was into Groucho even back then.
All right, I'm going to look up Captain Spaulding right now.
Yeah, so you're going to get a lot of pictures of Groucho, but we have to find the clown picture.
All right, hold on.
Sid Haig. He seems nice.
Yeah, he's terrible, man.
See, I've never seen this movie, so I'm just going on context clues.
Captain Spaulding, otherwise known as Cutter.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a nice name too.
All right, list of Rob Zombie characters. Here we go. We're gonna get these guys right now. I don't know why I watched this. From left, Otis B. Driftwood. Nope. Bill Moseley was the guy that plays the villain, not Rob Zombie. And Captain Spaulding is Sid Haig.
Yeah, I see his picture now.
Rob, do you see that?
Yeah, it's nice.
Show it to Oscar. Show it to Oscar.
Oh my God.
Rob, would you be willing to come out as Captain Spaulding?
I think we've done the clown thing already.
That's a terrifying clown, though.
It's terrifying. A terrifying guy. Terrifying. Rob, couldn't you be a terrifying clown?
Oh my God. I think it's in my...
All you have to do is put blue eyeshadow on your head.
Well, I put blue eyeshadow on it for any show.
I don't know
anyway.
What's happening. I'm stream of consciousness today. You got to bear with me. It was a very busy holiday, but I would love to see...
How do you stumble on to that movie?
I mean, because cable sucks and I don't know how to negotiate it, and so I'll stumble on something when I'm
bored with
something else.
Are we still with DirecTV? I can't remember where we are.
No, I'm not with DirecTV. I'm with Xfinity.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And we figured out a lot of the issues with Xfinity that I think Oscar's right about. I'm pretty sure I corrected the hockey thing. And
okay, good.
By the way, my apologies to the Capitals fans for falling asleep during the game. I just had a little too much day and was not able to make it all the way to the end of the third period. But you know, I knew the game was in hand, so I didn't give everybody a zang until the morning after. So Caps up 3-2.
It was. There you go. It was a very relaxed after the fact zang.
Yeah. I tell you, they are. And baby, the lady, Sherry Moon Zombie, that's his wife.
Aha! Mrs. Zombie.
Sherry Moon Zombie is...
The Widow Zombie.
She's very, very... Is he dead?
No, I just like calling people's wives the Widow.
Why do you like calling people's wives?
Because it sounds funny. It sounds funny with zombies.
Is it because of your death obsession?
No,
is
it's
that
not
it
at
is?
All. It's just it sounds funny. The Widow Zombie. Because, I mean, zombie's funny with Widow.
I don't think anyone else thinks Widow's funny.
Well, you know what? Maybe this one's just for me. Ah, my friends are here.
The crickets are here for Rob.
My friends, the crickets.
Would you like to share your little memorial from the weekend that you gave me?
Mike, yes, I would.
Okay. Now be nice.
I will.
Be nice because this is serious. Because this was a person that you worked closely with.
He was actually very, very nice to me the whole time that we did work together. I worked with him a few instances, and I grew up watching him, which is sort of one of the cool things is that when you
are
get
you
to
looking him up because no, you really I was looking to see and you don't really know who he
I was
is,
looking to see if I had the age when I texted you his age because I forgot about his age. I didn't.
You didn't text me. You just you texted me that Jerry Clark had passed away.
Yeah, and
I texted you back. I texted you back that the world just got a lot less talented.
It's true. It's true. Jerry Clark was a Washington, D.C. I would call him a heritage broadcaster. He did a lot of work on the legendary WASH when it was an all-purpose, all-service station. But his biggest claim to fame, I think, was he was the local anchor for the Jerry Lewis Telethon for many, many years and donated many hours to that, worked close with MDA.
How old was he? Do you know roughly how
old
he was when
he passed? I would have texted it if I had. That's why I was checking. I didn't
okay,
have
all right, just, all right. So, but you worked with him
at the local cutaways
the
when I did. A few years where they do a local cutaway and they would bring a DJ in to goose the fishbowl or ask for donations. And Jerry had a big thing that if they beat last year, the Virginia, D.C., Maryland total, if it surpassed last year, he would shave his mustache live on the air, which was something that he did several times because he was a great fundraiser. And if you talk to some of the older school broadcasters in the D.C. area, anyone who worked with Jerry Clark always had a nice story about him. And it's sad to see him go. He was not in the public eye for the last few years. So this was a surprise to me. I had no idea if he was in failing health or not. So safe home, Jerry Clark.
Okay. He was the longtime midday guy. And I'm trying to get some, not a lot of info on him. It's unfortunate, but there.
Did this guy take you under his wing?
He was just very nice. I remember the first time I talked to him, it was when I had just started as an intern with Don and Mike. And of course, they put out a call to all the stations to send a disc jockey to, you know, host a local thing. And Don and Mike had no interest, and there were no other real disc jockeys at WJFK at that time because a lot of the programming was piped in. So it was offered to me. And I was like, Yeah. Hell yeah.
That making an impression.
And so you go there and, you know, you're sort of wide eyed. You've never done any TV before.
Big deal.
And he
was cool.
Pulled me aside, he said, here's what you do. And I've heard you on the Don and Mike show. And thank you for coming out. And it was just very nice of him. So good guy.
That's really sweet. Mm-hmm. No dressing room incident?
There were donuts. I remember lots and lots and lots of donuts. And he said, please
help
yourself.
Wasn't one of your all time great moments that you finally got to be on the television when the telethon
was
on?
So
you were
cool.
In the box that you watched for so many
years. I believe it was at Landmark Mall is where they were doing it that year, and they had the huge fishbowl.
I thought you went to a studio. I thought you went down to the WTTG studio.
No, I never did a studio cutaway. It was always, they like to do it as a remote, and so it was at the mall that time, and that was neat because I got a really, really good time slot. I believe it was 2 a.m.
I'm really frustrated that I can't find more information about Jerry Clark. That's terrible that there's not more about him.
But it really threw me because as a longtime telethon watcher, I had to be, you know, at the set at 1 a.m. Telethon comes on prime time. I couldn't drink before I went down there.
Yeah.
So I had to, at midnight, put on my tuxedo and drive to Landmark Mall. I couldn't drink and watch the telethon properly.
I didn't know you did it from Landmark Mall.
I think it was at a mall, and I think it was Landmark that year that we did
it. How were you received when you did that?
It was wonderful. It was very nice. Everyone was ready. There wasn't a lot of people at the mall, so the enthusiasm came from the phone bank and the people that were the tech.
Did he leave after you got there?
No, I just did. He was on every break. It was one DJ per break.
Wait a second. So when you watch The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel,
yes,
and she's doing the telethon, did that remind you of your time on television?
A little bit, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it was very cool. And that is really.
Yeah, you didn't do stand up.
No, I didn't do stand up. I was given cards to read.
Oh, but still.
I got, you know what I
do? You're on late night on a telethon.
I got to read the silver and gold bonus member cards. I remember that, thanking people for $100 and $200 pledges, I think it was.
Would this be the origin story for your telethon love?
No, love the telethon from way before this. But this was my first time to get my hooks in it.
Wow.
Yeah. It was neat to be a part of it.
And people watched TV back then.
They did.
The only thing I've got is television. So you got it from DCR TV?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's nothing more.
That's
sad.
You
think it's accurate? Because I worry about that website.
I believe.
That wing nut. You never know what he's going to. He'll put anything up there.
I'm Facebook friends
filled with like haters and all that crap.
I'm Facebook friends with John Dowling, and John Dowling posted a memorial as well. So I do believe it.
I see he put up that I interviewed James Patterson, so I didn't go. I'll have to check the mailbag out and see how they can twist that into a hateful comment. That'll be my fun activity of the day. Because I don't go to that website anymore at all.
A nice visit.
Since I moved down here, I stay away from it. But I'll have to go in there and go, I didn't know Mike could read. Didn't know Mike could read books. I'll do that. Well, anyway, since we don't have any of the details, you got your information from DCR TV.
I wanted you to know. Can I throw in one other thing that's just a weird thing about time zones?
Go right ahead.
On my way into work today, roughly 7 o'clock, I get a text from Julia, who is going to be back tomorrow from her Asian vacation.
She's in Japan.
Well, today she's in Beijing.
Ooh,
and so it's
China.
Like 7 in the morning, and she says, just sitting down to dinner to have Peking duck in Beijing. And it's just a total mind-blowing thing that, you know, the time difference would be like that. And then she just texted me again. She says, Peking gourmet is better than Beijing.
Oh, wow. Well, that's where I'll be taking my daughter for her graduation.
Oh, it's awesome. Good.
Yeah, which I'm pretty excited about.
That's
and
awesome.
And she also, and I think if I'm lucky, I'm going to be able to meet the beau. I think I'm going to get a chance to meet the boyfriend. And by the way, she texted me a picture of the boyfriend really intensely watching the hockey game on Saturday night, which made me very, very happy. I like that. I like, you know, a shared interest. And he was super intense. Just a little Instagram of him watching the hockey game. I guess they went outside and they projected it. Was it a warm night here on Saturday
beautiful.
Night?
Yeah, beautiful.
It was gorgeous.
Yeah.
And so they projected it out there on like the side of a garage or something. There was a bunch of neighbors that were in there watching. A very, very cool move. And so I'm looking forward. I hope I meet this guy.
You don't think it was a posed photo? Like pretend for my father?
No, he was too intense. It was like she was like, you know, looking all over the place, and she loved the idea of the projector, but she's a bit of a hockey fan through me. And then showed him, and he was like super into it, which I just loved the video. So I want to meet the kid. I want to meet him, you know, and give him my talk.
How long have they been?
I've stolen from Clueless. even though he's not picking her up at my home, I'll say I have a 45 and a shovel. I'll dig a hole. You won't be missed.
You know, how long have they been seeing each other?
I don't know, 6 months or so, six months to a year. I think that's it. I'm not sure. I am not sure at all. So,
but you've not met him at all. Have you talked to him on the phone?
Yeah, I think I met him on the phone one time. So, you know, it's like, hello, sir. Hi, how are you? Nice to meet you.
All right.
Very good.
It's bad on the phone, though, because...
Let me see how you do a proper interview.
All right.
No, I'm not. Mr. Han. No, everything's fine.
It's hard to meet them on the phone because it's important. I think eye contact is important. And their presentation when they first meet you is important.
Yeah, back when Catherine had a boyfriend that didn't look at me when I shook his hand, and that just makes me think
a problem.
That,
very bad,
absolutely. And then when we went to the high school football game, and there were five of us sitting on a little row in the bleachers, and he went to her side. Where they were as far away from me as he could have possibly gotten, and that was a big faux pas.
Yeah.
And that's great, you know, because, but that ended, and that's okay. And I'm sure by now he's got that skateboard empire that he was working on back when I was. Yeah, he was going to make them. He's going to make skateboards.
Sure.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Ball bearings.
I'm sure that'll go very, very well. Do we have Mr. Frumpkin here?
We do. He's standing
by. We have a treat. We have been doing so many deep dives on Jeopardy. We're going to do another deeper dive as this guy, James Holzhauer, goes into week number 3, I believe it is.
He's completed 12 episodes. This will be his next one will be his 13th.
So that sounds about right.
Yep.
That he's going into week number 3, and we're going to take a deep dive on it. I have so many questions about Jeopardy, and I'm sure you guys do too. And he's a fan of this show for a long time. One of our most famous game show contestant fans on the show, Josh Frumpkin, Jeopardy player, will be joining us on the Mike O'Mara Show when we come back, everybody.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
I remember last Thanksgiving, I go over to my mom and dad's for traditional Thanksgiving dinner, and my mom orders Boston Market. You believe that? Boston Market. But she served it in her own china. Right? So the guests wouldn't know. But my brothers and sisters and I would drop subtle hints. We'd be like, so, Ma, do we get two sides with the turkey? Is it two or is it just the cornbread? What's the policy? She was like, just take what you want and pass it. I was like, you know, can I see your manager? Because I really don't like your attitude at all. You know, I've been eating here a long time, right?
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana, and now, the best of O'Mara.
Let's open up the audio.
Rob Spiewak, what do you have for us today?
I teased it earlier. Today is Toddy's last day as an internship.
Oh, I've been waiting for this since last week.
And, Mike, you know how you like promos that really don't promote anything?
Yes.
You're in luck, because today I present to you Toddy's Hotties.
Welcome to this edition of Toddy's Hotties.
Oh,
this is Toddy, and it's time to get hot. We're going to pick two ladies and one guy that will open up your eyes. The first hottie is Serena Williams. She's arguably the greatest women's tennis player of all time. Recently, she was on the cover of Vogue magazine, looking nice. Our second hottie is Scarlett Johansson. Actress, model, and singer has made appearances in the Forbes Celebrity 100. She's a Hollywood sex symbol because of her trademark lips, green eyes, and voice. Way to go, Scarlett. Our final hottie is Justin Timberlake. Oh man, those ladies love him. His rise to fame came when he was part of NSYNC. Then, he became a solo artist and sold over 80 million records. His beautiful voice and attractive body make him so irresistible to women. He's like the white Santana Moss. So that's it for this week's edition of Toddy's Hotties.
Oh.
If you don't like Toddy's Hotties, you're just a dull and uninterested human being. Thank you.
Toddy.
There you go.
At the end, brilliant. We get that. Oh, I could have used that for his whole run. I could have used that for his whole run. You'll have to tell him to come back and do it like every couple of months.
Yeah, he
or
can
so.
Submit Toddy's Hotties, of course.
I'd love him to drop by and tell Toddy before he leaves to come back and record Toddy's Hotties.
Yeah,
you got it.
Freaking love that.
I'm gonna go.
If you come to me and remember, I said this. If you come to me and say, Mike, it's back. Toddy's Hotties, you will make my year.
Cool.
I would love
absolutely.
That gift.
Love it.
Awesome. Absolutely.
All right. Did you watch any of the coverage of the McCain funeral?
I watched the entire funeral.
It was a beautiful service, and there was two moments that I want to highlight. Both George W. Bush and Barack Obama spoke at the funeral, and they both had isolatable, charming moments. You know that doing a eulogy is one of the toughest things you can do as far as public speaking.
Yep, you've done them. I've done them. They're very difficult.
And this was a great moment. George W. Bush sort of recalling the intenseness of John McCain.
Moments before my last debate ever with Senator John Kerry in Phoenix, I was trying to gather some thoughts in the holding room. I felt a presence, opened my eyes, and 6 inches from my face was McCain, who yelled, "Relax, relax." John was above all a man with a code. He lived by a set of public virtues that brought strength and purpose to his life and to his country.
So that him yelling at him to relax maybe helped, maybe didn't.
It was really, really terrific. And listen, for the people that can't handle it, the people that just don't know what bipartisan, dignity is all about, just bite me. And they're on both sides. Did you not ever really compete in anything? Did you ever experience loss? Did you ever experience like participating in some sort of sporting event where you had to be a gracious loser? Have you ever not put yourself out there? I cannot, for the life of me, on both sides, Democrats and Republicans, the Democrats that were saying, oh, what about this that he voted on? What about this? Yes, we get it. He disagreed with you. Hello, he's dead. And he did, he was in a prison camp for 5 years. And for the people on the Republican side who have to say to me, Mike, I know you got a tie to the Naval Academy, then why didn't you vote for him? You just don't get it. I didn't vote for him because I disagree with 99% of the stuff he voted for. That doesn't mean I can't respect him and I can't admire him as a true American hero and patriot. Did you never participate in a contest of any kind where you were attempting to beat the other person's brains out, and then you shake their hand and you congratulate them on a job well done?
Like a playoff hockey series.
Like a playoff hockey series.
They beat each other up for 7 games. They're yelling and screaming. And then at the end, they shake hands.
They shake hands. My advice to all you people on both sides that couldn't get in the spirit of what was really a sweet little moment where Americans maybe came together for a minute, just shut the F up and let the grown-ups have their moment. And I mean that. Let the grown-ups have that moment. And look in the mirror at yourself and realize you got a circuit missing. You've got a capacitor that wasn't installed right. It might have happened when you came out of the womb, or it might have been you had a little effed up upbringing by your parents. But remember, this is a time, yes, you disagree with the guy. Yes, you had two guys sitting in the front row that were in the most heated competition, the presidency of the United States, and they both got up there and said wonderful things about him. Get over it. I was sickened by some of the things that people were saying. And the one guy, the very last one, when I made a little comment, my mother was married in the Naval Academy chapel to a naval aviator who graduated from the Naval Academy named Joseph Lister. At the end of World War II, he went off an aircraft carrier and his engine quit. And he went into the drink and they never found his body. And she was married. I have pictures of my mom where they have the swords up, where she's coming out of the Naval Academy Chapel. John McCain's last service was in the Naval Academy Chapel. And yet a guy writes to me, well, how come you didn't vote for him, Mike? Because that guy doesn't understand what it is to be a grown-up. It's that simple. Right. That's what it's all about. You put it aside. We need to do it now more than ever. Sorry for the speech. I meant to do it earlier.
That's right. Speaking of being a grown-up, you mentioned this in passing. This was a wonderful moment from when Barack Obama spoke at the funeral.
It showed his irreverence, his sense of humor, a little bit of a mischievous streak. After all, what better way to get a last laugh than to make George and I say nice things about him to a national audience?
So I thought that was exceptionally well handled. And it was a beautiful service.
I loved Ariana Grande. I thought she was great at the service.
That was Aretha.
Damn it. Yeah. All right.
I'm sorry.
Please,
I know we're
all
over the place. But you know what? Maybe tomorrow we can talk about it. We'll talk about it tomorrow. But the whole controversy over the bishop grabbing her side boob. Can we talk about that tomorrow?
Oh, of course.
I'd like to know. I'd like to know your thoughts on that tomorrow. And
do you want to hear that bishop's joke from the funeral?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. This is Aretha. Was Aretha's funeral over 7 hours?
It seemed like
it's still going on.
Yeah. A lot of it was outfit changes.
They have a bonus show that you can subscribe to.
Aretha's Death Patreon is right available. Here's the Bishop.
Franklin Fruitcake Futures.
This is, Mike, this is from Aretha Franklin's funeral. I think his name was Bishop Hansey.
I've got to apologize because I have to brush up. My 28-year-old daughter tells me, Dad, you are old at 60. When I saw Ariana Grande on the program, I thought that was a new something at Taco Bell.
And then he went in for the kill.
Yeah. Yeah.
He didn't show the proper R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
True enough. True enough. And let us close with this just briefly. Nicki Minaj had a concert in Philadelphia over the weekend, Sunday. Oh. And if you see the pictures from this, it was a wardrobe malfunction.
Oh.
I mean, all I can explain
to
is...
To beat the band. The best wardrobe malfunction in the history of malfunction.
She had a blouse that fought a losing battle for an entire show.
Absolutely.
And bless her heart, little Nicki Minaj, isn't she marvelous? Here she is explaining herself at the end of the show.
Then I saw my nipples at least 50 times tonight.
Thank you. That's your magic audio vote. Have a great Tuesday, everyone.
The best of O'Mara.
Without further ado, let's get to news.
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 Boo. News.
News.
News. News. 80-year-old Brady Bunch mom Florence Henderson
Box
still loves to get it on, baby.
Wessonality.
Here's her quote.
Yeah.
It keeps getting better.
Oh.
You learn to do things with more experience, intelligence, and the ability to choose more wisely.
She's 80?
She's 80 years old.
Yes, wow, and still getting it done. Mm. Good for her.
Do you think it smells like icy hot?
What's that?
You think it smells like icy hot?
Oh, God.
Oh.
Well, she even has a friend with benefits, fellas. He's a chiropractor that does not live in California. Guess where he lives?
Where?
Where do you think?
Florida.
Yes, thank you, Ron Spiewak, for 20 points.
You know what's great? When you're 80, the friends with benefits, the main benefit is not getting laid. It's having a chiropractor.
There you go. She didn't say how old he is, but she admitted she likes to date guys in their 60s.
Oh, yeah. Make it crack.
Wow. Gwyneth Paltrow, this is a very sexy news you may not need today.
Nice.
She has revealed that... she gets her genitalia steamed at a Korean spa in L.A.
Well, it's better for you than having it fried.
Well, you don't want to put it in the wash.
She lets it all... she reveals everything and does a
lot
of
weird
stuff.
You were going to say she lets it all hang out and you thought better of it.
Is it a steam cleaning? What is it?
Well, this is what she says. Quote,
serving veggies.
You sit on what is essentially a mini throne... and a combination of infrared and mugwort steam.
Mugwort
what is mug?
That is a. That's like a. Isn't that like an herb or something?
It is.
Oh, cheer up, pony.
Infrared and mugwort steam cleanses your parts down there.
Yeah, oh, nice. Yeah, I could see that.
She
it's
says
just like if you have a high end car, you don't want to. You want to go to a touchless car wash.
Sure.
instead of brush.
You know, I bet you Florence Henderson could use some mugwort steam.
Thank you, Rob. It's an energetic release that balances female hormone levels. That's what she says. So, who knows?
That's not any hocus pocus. That's all sound stuff.
The sex news continues today. Chelsea Handler has unleashed her chest for world peace. Have you seen this picture on the
No.
I have. She is in Israel, and she posted a picture of herself sitting on a camel topless.
One hump or two.
She loves doing this on Instagram.
She does. She loves showing her breasts.
She loves doing this, but she loves doing it in inappropriate places.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's
and
almost
she has
like a problem.
She has Stars of David stickers on her nipples.
Oh,
and I saw the picture. She's kind of looking, pointing up to the sky. She captioned it, quote, a Muslim allowed a topless Jew to sit on his camel.
And we say we can't live side by side. I say we try, and we can, and we will. And you don't even have to be topless. L'chaim.
That's what a lot of fun.
Wow, she is
nice
very bold.
Nice cans for her age,
yeah.
Right?
She got it together.
Very nice. I think she's very proud of her body, and she likes to show it off.
Yeah, she needs a little steam, though.
You can bet on more than just the game on Super Bowl Sunday. They always post this time of year. Online sports books have all kinds of other crazy bets that you can bet. I always thought that if we were in Vegas at Super Bowl time, it might be a lot of fun to put one of these weird bets down.
Sure.
You can bet on how long Idina Menzel's national anthem will last. Mm. You can bet on whether Katy Perry will show cleavage at halftime. I would say that's a problem.
Guaranteed.
A small payout on that one. And whether Marshawn Lynch will grab his crotch. Hallelujah. And what color Gatorade will be dumped on the winning coach. You can bet on things like
that.
Can
you bet on whether Al Michaels is going to show cleavage?
Hey, he was on the Golf Channel last night, as a matter of fact, being interviewed by David Fay.
I was watching Channel 4 NBC, and they had a promo for the Super Bowl. Apparently, the game is this Sunday. And they during the promo,
such an ass.
They put up the briefest shot of Chris Collinsworth and Al Michaels, and I realized it's because no one wants to know that they're calling the game.
Right,
I mean, they're
exactly.
horrible. They
yeah, they're
are
terrible.
Horrible.
They
I'm
are
so
nasty.
Glad we're going to be in a bar where we can watch and not listen.
I rarely do this on the show, but I'm going to do it this week. We have the top 10 albums on the Billboard pop charts.
Oh, cool.
Are you ready for
yeah.
this? Number 10, I don't know any of these, so you can mock me if I mispronounce right. anything. Uptown Special, Mark Ronson. Anybody know that?
Yeah, that's got Uptown Funk on it. Bruno Mars, a collaborator.
Like that.
That's a good song.
Number 9, In the Lonely Hour, Sam Smith. Anybody?
Yes,
anyone?
Yes,
okay,
yes.
Okay, very good. Number 8, it's new, The Pale Emperor with Marilyn Manson. He's got a brand new
don't
album.
Don't know that.
Wow, still happening after all these years.
Mm-hmm. Number 7, another new one, What a Terrible World, What a Beautiful World, The Decemberists. Has anybody heard of
They've
the
been
Decemberists?
Around a while. I didn't know
yeah,
they had any new product out.
Number 6, The Pink Print. I'm sorry, The Pink Print.
How's that?
The Pink Print.
Pink Print.
Nicki Minaj. And number 5, new B4Daz, Joey Badass, 58,000 copies, so that's number 5. Number 4 is X by Ed Sheeran. Number 3, Tidal, Meghan Trainor.
Yeah.
Number 2 is 1989 by Taylor Swift. And number 1, at the top of this week's top 10 albums, ladies and gentlemen, American Beauty, American Psycho,
Fallout Boy.
There you go. Ladies and gentlemen.
Nothing like $400.
Yeah. Fallout Boy.
Think how many copies of that you could buy for
Rob, is this
$456?
Rob, what can you say about it? I mean, this is obviously
they're
is
hot
this a
right
new
now.
Thing for them? Or
and
what?
It's so hot right now, Mike.
But you know what? It's a great album. It is of all the stuff I've heard, it sounds a lot like their older stuff, but it's more poppy. There's at least 4 singles on it. And the title track, American Beauty, American Psycho, is fantastic. It's a really
Is it worth $500?
The album is not $500. You can download the album for $8, and it's worth it.
Rob's investment is more than that. His total investment.
I think about the time when she was running. She was working on that contest.
Yes.
Oh, the 4 weeks of airtime.
Yep. Yeah.
We should bill him for that.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Bill him. Charge him. Damn it, charge him.
Hey, good luck with your drone.
There you go.
Yeah. Hope you get a big fat check.
I'm not gonna get.
And you know what? You'll never hear Fall Out Boy on this show like I just did. Anyway, one woman's attempts to make sure a cockroach was dead may cross over into the realms of overkill. When a young female janitor in Taiwan... Oh, we need the music.
Oh.
Sorry about that. Thank you very much.
Does she work at the steaming parlor?
When a young female janitor in Taiwan... That's Korea, Rob.
Oh, I'm
was,
sorry.
Cleaning an office, stumbled upon a cockroach. She didn't hesitate to act. First, she stepped on it. Next, she wrapped the cockroach in tissue paper and crushed it. Then she set it on fire.
Good.
Then, just to make sure it was gone for good, she tossed the cockroach into the toilet, forgetting that she just cleaned the toilet.
Oh, no.
The result of the flaming cockroach and the cocktail of detergents in the toilet bowl was an extremely potent homemade explosive, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, sir.
Science is great.
Oh, God.
Promptly went off with a bang, blowing the toilet apart and stunning an office full of employees outside.
I'm stunned.
Stunning the employees outside.
Stunning.
Thank you very much, yes. And now a little something. Dover, Delaware police say 39-year-old Marlo Holmes was arrested Monday afternoon during a traffic stop. They said police dogs alerted officers to the presence of narcotics inside the car Holmes had been riding in.
During a search of the car, officers said they discovered more than 28 grams of cocaine stuffed into his prosthetic leg.
Oh, no.
And Holmes was arrested. Police say he faces charges of possession with intent to deliver cocaine and possession of drug paraphernalia. He was jailed with bond set at $81,000. Wow, that's a steep bond there. Police say they kept the drugs as evidence but returned Holmes' leg. A police spokesman said until the dogs arrived, officers were stumped.
The Best of O'Mara.
Yeah.
They had the original guy, and he was the spokesmodel. He wasn't the guy that invented the chicken.
Well, he didn't invent the actual chicken, but he did invent a cooking process.
So Harlan Sanders, was he the guy?
Yes.
Was he really the guy?
The secret to Kentucky Fried Chicken is fried chicken in oil, but they fry it in a pressure cooker.
Oh,
the oil is Rob in the pressure cooker.
Did you see Rob when he did that? He looked like
Ed
Helms.
He's giddy. He's sure. Like, yeah.
But they cooked it in a pressure cooker, and his head went.
I've done it. I've done it.
It's Smarty Pants.
It's academic.
Did you ever do that at VCU or in high school? I'd pop you right in the eye when you did that.
You see, that's why we get along so like well now.
Listen, Spiewak, you're fixing the curve.
I never busted the curve. Never retrograding curve. Right. Promise you. But I did one time do it. I got one of those cookbooks. It's like the secret recipes that you can make at home. And that's when I read
about
it.
They don't just throw it in a deep fryer?
No, it's a pressure cooker deep fryer. And I can't imagine the danger of perfecting the process of not only superheated oil, but superheated oil under pressure.
That's how my mom makes chicharron.
Makes what?
I'm sorry. I've never talked about chicharron before.
I don't think so.
What's chicharron?
Chicharron is a similar type of chicken that she cooks in a pressure cooker. And frankly...
Oh, it's Bolivian fried chicken.
It's Bolivian
BFC.
Fried chicken, but it's more like a Mongolian chicken that has soy sauce, 11 herbs and spices. It's amazing.
Really? Tell us all about it. I'd love to hear it.
Is it fried?
It's baked, and then she fries it.
Double cooking process.
Double cooking.
It's like braising, kind of.
Yeah.
That's what you call it.
How long does it take?
My mom wakes up around 4:45 in the morning on your given holiday.
You see, she's found a way to cook chicken
deep down.
She knocks on everyone's door to tell them what she's doing because she wants us all to feel guilty about not waking up.
Can you describe chicharron? What is the final dish like? It sounds delicious.
It's usually served with a melody of...
Medley.
Damn it! With a song and some fried rice. Which she puts together, quite frankly.
Sounds phenomenal. I mean, I've only experienced one culinary move with you, and that's
barbecue.
When you had me over for the barbecue, and you brought meat that had been marinated at your mom's house, I believe.
Yes.
And it was like the best barbecued meat on a grill that I'd ever eaten in my life. I think I ate most of it that was there. Like, it was delicious. So this chicken it sounds phenomenal. It sounds really,
man.
Really good.
And when my mom's making chicharron, it's like she's ringing a bell. She'll tell me that to guilt me into coming over. By the time she's done saying chicharron, I'm in the car driving.
And Mike, it's on the bone with the skin and everything.
Fantastic.
Like that.
Mike, I have brought up chicharron on Wikipedia, and it reads like this. A chicharron is a dish consisting generally of fried pork belly or fried pork rinds, but it may also be made from chicken, mutton, or beef. Chicharron as a dish with sauce is a finger food snack popular in Spain, Latin America, and other places with Spanish influence, like Bolivia. The singular form or term of variant is also used as a mass noun, blah, blah, blah.
So it's a fried product?
Trying to find the...
Yes, also a famous character played by Adrian Garcia / Pantiflas.
Cantinflas.
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 What is his name, Rob? What is it?
Cantinflas. He's most known for Around the World in 80 Days to American audiences.
Cantinflas.
He played a Passepartout.
So we didn't find out is it fried, baked, broiled? What exactly
it says,
is it?
You know what it says, and it keeps bringing up that it's similar food. It's similar to pork rinds.
Yeah, it kind of looks like it. I'm looking at some right now.
So it might be largely chicken fat that's
fried. Is it extra crispy?
Oh, it's fantastic. It is great.
But you're not telling me. You're not
a foodie,
so you're
not even.
I'm calling
my mom right now.
Eat the crap, for God's sake? Come on.
What do you mean, eat it?
Will you eat it?
I don't
what is
look
it?
At
don't
it.
Just
I,
look
I eat
at it.
It. Eat
Rob
it.
Spiewak would be able to describe it down to the very, very last detail, and you can't.
Oh, I don't.
Okay, in the Dominican Republic, chicharron is prepared by washing and drying chicken.
I'm Mrs. Zabalios.
Oh, no, don't do that.
Whoa. Hey, Mom, we're going to call you back on the air. Are you free?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Love you.
Okay.
All right, ciao, ciao.
This is great. I will not be Larry. I will finally be able to speak to Mrs. Zabalios.
The chicken is prepared by washing and drying chicken and cutting it into small pieces, which are then seasoned with a mix of lemon juice and salt. The batter is made from flour, pepper, paprika, and salt in a plastic bag in which the seasoned meat is then shaken, then deep fried without removing excess flour or skin.
Oh, God,
so it sounds like an exceptionally fatty fried chicken, which is perfect.
Mike, I just sent them my home number to Pony. Pony's calling in. My you should know a little background before you get into chicharrón. My father has left the country once again.
Yes.
He is scheduled to come back. I asked mom, I was like, when's dad coming back? He goes, you won't believe this. El noviembre 20. And I said, November 20th, right before Thanksgiving? And she said, sí. She goes, I don't have enough break from him. And I said, what is going on? The man just leaves.
So she is the one. I always knew she was the one.
Right, she's the one.
She wants him to stay away.
Yeah. I think my mom might be on the line now. Are you calling? What's going on? Talk to us.
It is calling now.
Dialing for dollars.
Chicharrón in Bolivia is made.
My mom is the
worst. She's calling all her friends to tell her she's going to be on the radio. Chicharrón in Bolivia is made of pork ribs seasoned with garlic, oregano, and lemon, then boiled and cooked in its own fat, usually adding beer to the pot for more flavor.
Totally different dish.
Yeah. Pork chicharrón is usually served only on Sundays and is eaten with la yawa, a tomato salsa, and mote, a type of corn.
A totally different dish.
Yeah. The other variations are made with chicken and fish.
All right.
I have to call her to help. Mom.
Hello.
Mom, yes? I love you. You got to hang up the house line so we can call you back. Press el off on the button. Off.
Off?
Yeah. Turn it off so we can call you back on the home line.
Okay, I put it off the TV, you say?
Yeah. No, not
no,
the TV.
No, the TV.
El teléfono de la casa no está atendiendo.
Oh, ya está sonando.
Sí, ahorita te vamos a llamar, all right? Pero tienes que colgar. Okay, I love you, Mom. Bye-bye.
It's so cute when he speaks Spanish.
You think I'm kidding when she calls me to check her email. I have to drive to Olney to check her email. This lady knows nothing about technology.
Well, that's what makes the email so convenient.
God bless her. She goes, oh, it's funny. It's making noise. Yes, because it's off the dial.
This is wonderful. Very, very exciting.
This is my life. Everyone thinks it's sweet and all chicharrón. No.
Does she serve it with homemade bread?
Here we go.
Oh, here we go.
I love this woman.
I do, too.
Hello.
Oh.
Mrs. Zabalios, it's Mike from the Mike O'Mara Show. How are you?
I'm doing good, but right now I cross the line.
That's quite all right, ma'am. We are delighted to have you on the show. How is every little thing today?
Very good. Only little narrow break with a storm, you know?
Yes. Are you watching the hurricane coverage down in the Carolinas?
Yes, I do. It made me more nervous. That's why I grow with my husband, Phil, in natural disaster. I grow all my life with my kids
in
that
way.
She grew
up with my dad going
with
to
natural
hurricanes.
Disasters.
Yeah,
sure. I understand. You don't need to prop me up on this. I know what she's doing here. Hey, you know what we were talking about, Mrs. Zabalios? We were talking about chicharrón. Oscar was describing chicharrón and talking about how wonderful it was. And, you know, Rob and I, we love food. Your son eats a bit, but he doesn't eat like we do. And when he was describing the chicharrón, it just made my mouth water, and it sounds like it's fantastic. Is that the best thing that you make for your family? Is that their favorite dish, chicharrón?
No, it's not the best thing, but once in a while I do it because it's hard to do it, you know?
Right,
it takes a long time.
Yes, it takes a long time.
Depends what you want. Chicken, chicharrón de pollo, or chicharrón de pork.
Okay, different options.
Oh, so you make pork and you make chicken, and they're different dishes, right?
And different dishes, I can do one day one thing, I can do another day another thing. But those two dishes, they are hard. But the chicken the other day I did, I made it, they were... For many years, I don't do it, and then was good. They were crazy about it because when they were little, younger, I did more often, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and do you think, Mrs. Zabalios, do you think you would be able to teach Oscar's new bride, Shannon, how to make chicharrón? Do you think you would be able to teach her that? Oscar, do you think she'd be willing to learn how to make chicharrón?
I think she would try at least. And Mom, in the past...
I am open. I'm open to teach her anything she wanted. Nobody, when I marry, I don't know anything.
Oh, you learned after you learned after you got married.
Until, until the man taught you everything, right, Mom?
No. I because you love that person, you learn. My mother-in-law was excellent cooker, and then from her, she never teach me, but I look at what she did.
Oh, so you observed your mother-in-law, and you were able to learn that way.
But you wanted to make Dad happy because he's the man of the house and ran the home.
Mrs. Zabalos, let me ask. Has Shannon showed interest in cooking or doing things around the house to you? Has she asked you any questions?
In the kitchen, not much, but it's different now. She's the way that my son.
Yes.
She's
yes.
learning a lot. I am very happy with her.
Oh, you're very, happy very with happy. Her. That's what great. I was getting at. That's wonderful.
Has she ever observed or asked questions about the vacuum cleaner?
Hey, Rob, you got it.
That's
there
good.
You go.
Thank
That's
you.
Wonderful. That's wonderful. That's
wonderful. Don't be mean.
No, don't be mean. I am curious, though. You say that chicharron is not the greatest thing you cook. What, in your opinion, Mrs. Zabalos, is the greatest thing you cook?
Paella.
Paella.
Oh, yeah. God, the best.
God. Mm-hmm. That's one of my favorite dishes. I would love to. I'm just going to come up to Washington, D.C. I'm going to go drive out to Albany.
Let me know. I do one excellent barbecue. The way I do it with good beef is the best thing. Good costillitas, you know?
Ribs.
Ribs.
You know what? I'll tell you what. Next time I'm in Washington, instead of staying at a hotel, I'll stay with you, Mrs. Zabalos, and you'll cook for me.
Stay with me. I have a lot of room here.
That's wonderful. And I'll do something to earn my keep, like I'll power wash your deck or something like that. I will.
No, my deck is shiny now.
Oh, why is your deck? Who power washed your deck, Mrs. Zabalos?
I pay somebody.
Oh, God, love you. Chicharron. I really hope to sample, have a sample of all of your wonderful cooking. Yes, Rob.
While we're talking chicharron, this may shock you, Mrs. Zabalos, but Oscar was horribly vague when he was describing the process.
Yes,
Is the meat both baked then fried? Is that how you cook it?
Yeah, the chicken. The chicken, what I do is I cut in pieces. The big piece you have in like a leg,
yes.
I cut in two. Then I macerate it for 2 hours in good wine. In good, no wine is a strong liquid like a cognac, or whiskey or rum.
Oh,
I put it for 2 hours.
Rot.
Then I take it off that, and then I fry first with nothing.
Oh, my God.
And then... I don't fry. I take it off all the blood they had of the meat.
Right.
And out. Then I put in the...
pressure cooker.
What I say? I put a black pepper, salt. Oh. And then I put the in the flour.
Okay.
No, in the flour. Oh. It's in the maizena. It's like
it's moving. It's moving.
You know?
Ooh, yes, absolutely.
And then I fry.
Oh, man.
Then the soy sauce. Mm-hmm. This is more like stylish in Spanish. There's more Chinese food, my Chinese chicken,
yeah.
But a different way, you know. When I live in my country, when I was.
And what do you serve it? What do you serve it with?
With chaufa rice. It's a fried rice.
Wow.
You know what?
So even though it has Asian flavor to
it. My arteries are starting to clog just hearing this. This is fantastic.
Even though the flavors are Asian, the cooking process is Bolivian.
Yeah.
Okay.
The name is only the Asia, but the cooking, what I do is Bolivian. It's different from any chicken you can buy in the Chinese.
I've never had it anywhere else, Mom. I love it. Oh.
Well, before we let you go, thank you for that beautiful description of the food.
More welcome. Everybody in your work, they can come. Tell me how many people. I used to have 80 people.
Oh, wow.
100 people in my home. And then they were welcome. Everybody loved my food.
We're going out there to eat.
Absolutely.
When I come back to Washington, we'll be up there in a couple of years. I'm really excited about that.
Come with your wife, your children.
You know what, Mrs. Zabalos, it's hard for me to leave Florida once I get down there. It really is. It's really hard to get me out of that state. But you know what? I'll tell you something. Get a few more hurricanes, you get me out of there permanently. So that's wonderful. You know what? That sounds like, Rob.
Unreal.
How great does that sound? Delicious.
I can taste it in my mouth.
But at the root of this, Mommy, it's to make sure that your man is happy, right? That your man is taken care of, that he's fed, that he understands how important he is, right? The man in the world.
I do.
Yes.
Yes. All women should know that.
No, don't boss me around.
But yes. I will do the nice thing.
And, yeah, don't boss her around, remember, but she'll do nice things for you.
That's right.
And now, do I understand that Mrs. Zabalius, that Mr. Zabalius has left and he's gone for a while? I know you're very disappointed that he's gone.
That's enough. That's all I need. God bless you, Mrs. Zabalius. That's it. That's a bingo. Thank you very much, Rob Spiway. That's okay, the bit
bye,
right
bye,
there.
Bye, Mrs. Z.
The best of O'Mara.
So, please accept my apologies to my crew here for having that moment of venting, but it was just a...
No problem.
It's the fabric of the show, Mike. Yeah, you need Mike, not apologize.
It,
yeah.
It was something I had to do, and it was just the combination of... I'm not speaking out of school where I think there are a lot of people that might be feeling a bit vulnerable, and in my particular situation, you know, there's nothing quite like going to knock on a doctor's door and having them turn you away. It is a pretty scary situation.
It will all work out, and you have to have faith, Mike. That's
Well, you know what, Oscar? We have a three-pronged attack now. We have the one guy at the insurance company, and then the lady that we actually bought our policy from, she's working on it, and then I've got the state of Florida and a lady who couldn't be nicer there. I'm dying to hear something.
Did you call the Wink Television hotline?
I did not do that, and that's going to be after the lawyer, because that is the... I would like to refer to that as simply the nuclear option. I believe, Mike,
that if you have to go to the television option, it will not only help push the case forward, but it might result in a weekly movie review feature.
That would be fantastic.
By the way, I can watch movies and review them as well.
I'm something of
a famous broadcaster.
Yeah, couldn't do much worse than those people on the weekend down there, that's for sure. Oh, there is a lady down here, and you know,
there's got to be college kids in that market, right?
This lady's been at it a while, but I will tell you, Grandma, I could actually. It's real subtle, so unless you do this for a living, you don't really jump on it. But it's not, and I wouldn't describe it as a stammer, but I would call it's called a fluff.
That is
a copy reading term, and a fluff is just a start, a stop. It's where you can't get through.
I thought it was a flub.
Perfectly. It's a flub, you know,
more serious than a fluff.
Okay.
A fluff is just
what a fluffer
like,
is.
Let me see. All right. Well, yeah. Let me.
You know what I think, Mike? Here. When you see a fluff, when you see it on weekend stuff, and a fluffer is since they've cut budgets, they don't have them at any of the network stations.
Oh, really?
No,
right.
Good to know. But a fluff, a lot of times, is the result of a teleprompter running at the wrong speed. Because you either get ahead of yourself or you fall behind and you have to catch up and
let me give you an example of what it is, and it's really subtle. Yesterday on my News You May Not Need, I had a story about toilet paper covering a toilet seat.
Yes.
And this is the way this is the way she would read it, all right?
Okay.
I'll read it verbatim the way it's written. I normally embellish and dance around the copy when I'm doing this, but here's the story, and this is the way it would sound on the weekend news. And I don't know what television station it is. I don't even know what channel.
It's not Wink.
I don't pay attention.
No.
Here goes. According to health experts, when you cover the seat with toilet paper, it actually makes it less sanitary. When you spread all of the toilet paper out, it increases the surface area for the germs to multiply and get all over you. Plus, that toilet paper is secretly filthy itself. She's an anchor lady, and she does it on every other story.
And been at it a while?
Oh, my God. It's stunning. Mm-hmm. It's stunning to me.
We call that, Mike, the Harrison.
Barbara Harrison.
How dare you? That woman's a national treasure.
She's a DC treasure. I wouldn't say national.
I saw Barbara Harrison and Neiman Marcus 6 years ago I was picking up something for my mother, and I said,
"Was she ringing you up?"
No, I said, "Well, there's someone familiar, and she's getting something wrapped. Oh, it's TV's Barbara Harrison.
Hello, television's Barbara Harrison." Yes. And she said, "Nah, nice to see you."
There are people that are good news readers and people that are bad news readers, and it really just kind of drives me. And it's not over the top. But it is a tick. It's almost like a nervous tick, and it drives me kind of crazy because they're reading teleprompters, and I want them to get a better handle.
Have you seen this new trend that when a smaller market their news divisions get a new set, but it's actually a news set. And by news, I mean it's a new set to them because it's used. It's coming from a larger market.
Oh, so no. They pick it up used. They do the same thing with theme park rides.
Yeah. So
they'll actually take something from Chicago that's been thrown in the trash and they'll bring it down to Albuquerque.
So they'll take the Albuquerque 80 set and make it a 90 set because a larger affiliate has upgraded, right, to the plexiglass.
What we're going to do is we're going to scuff up the chrome so it's not so shiny. We're going to lay down some wood laminate and we're going to call it the Loft.
Oh my God.
So they repurpose the sets, and there is a website out there that will find the previous owner of the set and
show them
and where what new market that set ended up at.
That's fascinating that's cool. to me because I will do that if I happen on an old television show. Fantasy Island was great for this. They always had the same block of houses. They always had the same street because they were all shot on the same back lots. Yeah. And I'd love saying, oh, look, it's the house from there or that house, because they only have like 15, 20 houses on the back lot. You can track their life.
I actually got the website for that those news sets. I've got it right here. It's SydneyAble.com. I'm sorry. That's a tribute to my old general manager for like a million years ago. Sid Abel, who, when I'd need anything for the studio, it would be like it was personally coming out of his ass, and he would just be like, oh, God. Oh, you get Sid, we need new duct tape for down in the engineering room. Oh, jeez. How much? I said, how much? It's 89 cents for one of the big rolls, Sid. Oh, God. I said, Sid, it's duct tape. We need it. We're putting stuff together.
This is duct tape that was first used at WLS in 1960. I got such a deal.
And the big to-do in this industry was when they went from the fatback television tube televisions, to the flat screens, because some of these television stations used to have what was basically a television inside the front of the console.
Right.
And they'd put a big wooden cabinet together and it would be up in the corner and it would have that. It's the same thing if you go like to a motel room. I mean, the best tell for a motel is if they've got probably not that many anymore, but some of them have the old tiny little televisions and that's the way it rolls. And now, once they swap those out, we're already, the flat screens are, speaking of flat screens.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy.
Yes, yesterday. Thank you, Mike O'Mara Show page, Amazon. Thank you.
Did you have to go to mom and ask her if you could do such a thing?
Did she have the wallet?
Permission was granted, but yes, the answer is yes. I did kind of whine and whimper a little bit, and now it's just, I didn't need it.
Well, you never need it.
Oh, my God. No one ever needs it.
Right. No one needs 4K.
No. No.
Oh, boy.
I can't afford it.
I didn't care. Look at you.
I didn't care. I really
isn't it too devastating? Look at you.
But I was going to get a curved one, and Oscar said, don't get the curved one. And then
I think we all screamed, don't get a curved one.
Okay, no, and then I saw like an expert online doing a piece on one of the online services saying, don't get a curved one, not worth it, not worth the extra money. And now they also said, don't get a smart TV. I disagree with that. I think a smart TV is cool.
So did you go with the apps, the Nameberry brand?
I got Nameberry.
Nameberry.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't have vertical hold.
We have black screen. We have painted it with spray paint. He's Nameberry. So it's it's there. It should be. It's going to be here next Thursday. What I'd really
you
like to do.
You don't have that many walls, Mike. Where is that going to go?
No, I've got the other one. I don't know what the hell I'm going to do. Can we give it away?
If you want to ship it.
What do you mean? Excuse me. We means the show.
No, I
Thank
know.
Thank you very much.
But I mean, it's a hassle to ship a television.
Did you see his reaction? Did you see his initial reaction?
Did you see your reaction?
It wouldn't be.
No, you said no. Your reaction was just like, if you pay for the shipping.
No. About? I don't care about paying for the shipping. I'm talking about the hassle
shipping
of safely delivering
a television.
Is the
worst.
Because of the possibility of damage.
Even if you move, say you move from
carrying it around the house.
You are paying a moving company. I remember because my sister, when she moved from Los Angeles to Florida, they left three TVs because the crating of the televisions cost more than the television.
More than they're worth.
I have a huge television that I need to. Now, the only I came in here.
Give
and
it
I
to
actually,
your son. He can watch Diego on.
No, yeah. He's not getting that giant thing. No, he's
give
not
it to the judge.
The
Say
judge
a little thank you. Here's a
the
little
judge,
thank you.
The judge is the reason I did it. because I went to the judge's house and watched football on Thanksgiving, and he had this it was fantastic. And the layout of his place, you know, all these places look alike from the outside, yes, but on the inside, they're all like cut up differently. So I went to his place, and that's what got me all motivated to get it. But I was thinking, ultimately, I wouldn't mind putting you guys on it. You know, and just
now don't give us your problems. No, you deal with this on
no,
your
no,
own.
He's saying, no, he's not. He's saying to use it as the monitor.
Oh, no, no, no. We don't need a larger. We don't need anything. We don't need anything here, Mike.
Mike, as Diego would say, it's a misunderstanding.
Oscar, listen, learn to listen, listen to learn.
How are you going to put us on it?
I'm talking about using that for the monitor for you guys.
No, we actually have a specific monitor that has a low profile, which yours is not. I've been at your house, that we need for this wall. It's the perfect monitor. I found this monitor on Craigslist.
Yeah, you
want to
get rid of your hardware? I want to get rid of mine.
No, that's not my hardware. We found it on Craigslist, that specific model
for
that wall.
I think there's still a misunderstanding here.
He doesn't know what I'm talking about. Will you explain what I'm talking about?
His original, the TV he has now, he wants to repurpose it as the monitor that he watches us on in his studio.
Like, you have a big screen that you watch me on. I want to watch you guys on a big screen, too.
Oh, I've seen your setup. I don't know if it'll fit where you want it to go.
Well, I measured yesterday, and I think you're absolutely right. It's just not right for it.
It's just too big.
And I have to put it over the window.
Over the window. You know what? If you got a mountain mic and it was hanging above you, but then you would be looking up at us.
Yeah.
And that wouldn't be right for your camera angle. Right now, you're looking at the camera.
You can't put a mount like on a window. You can't.
Oh, no. Do not do that, Nameberry. No. Do not do that.
No, you're not hanging. You're not hanging a wreath.
That is
it's a television.
What did you think I wanted to do? What did you think?
I thought you wanted to send it up here. We would have to deal with it and then send it to somebody else.
No, I want to take it off the counter there and bring it in.
About the lanai? Great place to watch television.
Put a little plastic over it. It'll be fine.
Yeah, throw a sheet over it when you're not using it.
Is there do they sell covers so you could keep it out there?
100%.
Yeah, you could probably, you know what would be great for it would be a grill cover.
Yes.
Like a Weber grill cover.
But they have outdoor television covers.
I don't want to
have outdoor. Same.
But it would be the same thing. All right.
Same deal.
And Mike, this is a selfish question, but I need to ask it now.
Yes.
When that television arrives, do you still have room for a record player? Because
question.
I was never putting the record player in that part of the world.
Okay, perfect. So
how many inches, Mike? How many inches?
And by the way,
they're 12.
No, it's a television.
Rob, you kind of told me what you're going to do for Christmas, so I sent an actual message to your bride saying, "Hey, Rob, sounds like he's getting me something, and I'd like to reciprocate." And so I sent her a message, and here's her response.
Oh.
It was all right. So it was a week ago.
You must have sent it at nap time.
The best of O'Mara.
Hi, everybody. How's everybody doing?
Hey!
Oh, listen to that voice. He's
back.
He's back in the bosom of his family. Don't you like having those business meetings right when you get off the plane?
Oh,
don't
no, I didn't mind them. I would rather clear the air, Mike, than have some sort of fog.
Yeah. When my number one business guy is away, Daddy gets a little uptight. Yeah. So he's got a vent to him right after.
No, we have to talk about this. I'm actually writing a business meeting right now to Pony. You're fired.
Yes, very good.
And Pony did nothing wrong.
No,
if anything, he's been great.
Outside of his health scare, which we may get to or we may not get to in the show today. Mm-hmm. But
do we have time?
It is a Thursday show. Oscar is back from the Great White North, where he was vacationing with his family. Rob, your cheeks are extremely red. Is everything all right today?
Yeah.
Is everything okay?
I think so,
I've never seen your... You think so? You're not stroking out, are you?
No,
your cheeks look redder than they normally... Than they normally
I'm
look.
Just
they
look excited to see Oscar.
They look like maybe you've
Oscar's
exerted
world.
Yourself.
Oscar's world.
You need to make it to Monday or Saturday at least, where you can get on your Disney cruise.
Oh no, I've got to make it at least to the new year. We got fruitcakes to make.
Don't,
once January 1st rolls around.
Do not pull what I like to call a Pony and not go on that cruise.
Yeah, if you die, it's your fault.
No, Rob's going on that cruise. I guarantee he's going.
Yeah, might not be coming back, but I'm going on it.
Guys, my meds can't get wet.
It's
not
a week at sea. Have you already begun to make preparations as far as the Disney cruise that you're going on?
There have been so many helpful emails from listeners that are Disney cruise pros, stuff that we need to do, stuff that we shouldn't do.
Did you buy a pirate outfit?
I'm going to buy an eye patch.
Nice.
Simply that. The new Apple eye patch is what I'm going to get. But they said, do be aware that for the pirate party, there are people that bring like full rented outfits. That's not going to be me. So
the pirate pros, the Disney pros.
Pros, yes. The
pros. People that have reached out to you. Would the majority of them be individuals who enjoy the Disney experience sans children?
Many of them go through the body of the email and never mention whether they have children. They do mention where we can go where there are no children. They said there's an 18-plus pool. There's an adult beach. They said you can go to this
These quadrant. Are people that love Disney, but they're adults without children. You know?
The one thing that I find really cute, and I didn't realize this, Carrie told me yesterday, Julia, I think we'll all agree, you've watched her grow up, but even when she was five, she was like a grown-up. She carries herself like an adult. She has a certain wisdom about her and a coolness. Carrie, per Julia's request, has signed Julia up for 2 meals with the Disney princesses. Julia wants to dine with the princesses.
Does she really?
She's
gotten beyond the embarrassment phase.
Yeah, she just wants to really enjoy herself.
And moved into the I'm kind of a young adult phase.
Yes.
So it's campy. And it's, well, that's
one
great.
More time.
I love it.
That's great.
I think because that's cool.
So Robert III, is there any brooding on his part where it's just like, Dad, Disney. I don't want to be around Mickey.
He's excited about the cruise, although we were not on speaking terms yesterday.
Oh,
because
you weren't on speaking terms with Robert III after the big thing?
The driving thing was great. I mean, he got his learners. I let him park the car. It was great. So yesterday in the morning, Carrie takes him over to his friend Ben's house. Ben is just back from a trip to England where his family comes from. So he was spending the morning at Ben's house. And Carrie said, can you pick him up on the way home from work? I said, absolutely. So I called him up. First I text, no reply. Call him up, he answers. I said, here is my ETA. I'll be at Ben's house. I said, ways I'll be there at this certain time. I said, be ready. He said, okay. And then when I'm 10 minutes away, I text him again. I said, 10 minutes away, no reply. Get there, text him from the driveway, no reply. I'm sitting there for 10 minutes, texting, calling. I don't feel like I should have to get out and knock on the door because that's not our arrangement. But I do, after about 15 minutes, get out of the car, knock on the door. Ben, sharp as a tack, shuffles to the door. Hi, Mr. Spiewak. I said, hi, Ben. And I look around. The house looks deserted. You would think that he'd be with Ben, right? I said, where's Robert? He's in the basement or something. So I said, okay, can you go get him, please? And
This is his house he's talking about.
Yeah. And so Ben shuffles away, does not invite me in, which is nice because it's not hot. And then I'm standing there in direct sunlight.
So weird.
And he comes back up. He says, Robert fell asleep. I said, well, can you wake him up? Because I'm here to take him home.
In the middle of the day?
Yeah, about 2:30 or so.
He goes to a friend's house and he just like curls up on the couch and falls asleep?
I guess, and in the 40 minutes that I had
the
spoken
stress
to him.
Of, it's the stress of the DMV that he's
unwinding.
To.
But it was the 40 minutes since I had talked to him.
Is he waking and baking, Oscar? You think
he might have gotten high, Rob.
I'm sure that's what happened.
I mean, you don't just pass out at 14.
So he keeps odd hours. I will say this. Maybe he is a drug addict.
You don't have to be a drug addict. Maybe you're
probably addicted to drugs.
Gentlemen, our gadfly is back.
Smoking the reefer. Is back.
But he brought it up, and I'm wondering, have you ever entertained the possibility? For example, I'm not even going to put it on your son.
Okay.
This young man, Ben.
Oh, Ben, maybe, yes.
This Ben. Is there there would be a possibility that maybe
I would think kids in seventh grade
do this drug sometimes.
Yeah, but I really don't think it's in Robert's playbook. I think it is just the fact that he's a lazy teenager keeping weird hours.
But know this. The way you grew up in the wheat fields of McLean or the cornfields of McLean or whatever vegetable you guys were growing.
Thank you for making it perfectly accurate. Keep going.
The way you grew up is not the way kids are growing up today.
That's right. It's so modern, Mike. Modern.
When you stumbled on
my kids, I get all my kids back in the house now. It's fun. It's fun for me.
When you stumbled onto the Playboy when you were 18, he found that like 5 years ago. When you saw your first beer, he's probably already seen his first beer out in the wild.
I'm sure.
weed is ubiquitous now. So you have to keep your eyes out for the bloodshot.
So you get suspicious when you hear a kid passing out in the afternoon. You think perhaps
something's
afoot.
Well, you know what? I have done that same thing when I was 16. And my parents weren't picking me up.
Well, you see, but we have
I got high. Pass out of my friend's basement. No one was picking me up. I just got yelled at by my mom when she said, "Where were you?" And I was like, "Oh, I passed out of my friend's basement."
Yeah, but you see, my kid is a good kid, and you are a bad kid.
I wasn't a bad kid.
You were a bad kid. Every story you've ever told about you being a child says that you're a bad
kid. Never went to jail.
That doesn't mean anything.
Well, let's get back to it. Did you wake him up?
No, and then he comes stumbling up the door, and I said, "Dude, what? What happened?" And he said, "I fell asleep." I said, "This, I can't even begin to explain the lack of respect that this shows not only to me, but why would you come to Ben's house and fall asleep?" "I don't know. I fell asleep." I said, "Get in the car." And then we drove home. No radio, no talking. And that was the last I saw him yesterday.
Oh, so you haven't talked to him?
I haven't talked to him today.
Oh, because he didn't want to show you that he was high.
That's right.
You go full mute when you're high. You freak out. You're a kid. You don't know. You don't want your parents to know. You're like, "I'm not saying a word." Right, Pony?
Look, Pony's corroborating it. Pony's corroborating. You go full mute?
Yeah. When I was like 13, 14, and my parents would pick me up, and I was like, "Oh, crap, we just smoked up." And you would just sit there and be really, really quiet.
Rob, I'm with you. Rob, I'm an innocent like you with this. I was not aware at 13, 14, 15, this kind of, maybe I'm a naive person, maybe I'm a naive parent, but you know, I think it's going to be necessary for you to get home today and rifle through his clothes.
Yeah, and a blood test.
And a blood test.
And probably a sock in the face, and just to be sure.
You don't even have to spend money. You go up to him
with
scissors, right? I'm sure you have them in the kitchen. You cut a lock of his hair off, and he's like, "What was that for?" You're like, "Oh, I just want to make sure everything's on the up and up," and then you put it in a Ziploc bag, and you put it
in
right
in front
there.
Of him. You're doing to make the show.
To make the show to him. To show, we have a new sponsor for drug tests, and it's a mail-in drug test. Julia's.
Rob Spiewak enjoys the grift as much as anybody. Enjoy a good con.
Sure, I like to trick people.
That would be a fun little move to maybe.
If there was any piece of recurring behavior that would lead me to think there was a problem, I do think he was just a lazy teenager yesterday. Now, if this was a ongoing thing, if he was having trouble at school, if I didn't like the overall quality of friends he hung out with, then maybe I would investigate it. But
this kid,
Ben,
the house that he went to, any parents around at all? No parents at all? No
I didn't
parents?
See parents there yesterday, but the parents are usually there. It's a good family. Ben is a good kid, although he tends to always look like he just got hit in the back of the head with a board.
You know who's a good family? The Kennedys, and they've had their missteps.
I never said the Kennedys were a good family.
Oscar's skipping ahead in the show. He's just back from Hyannis.
Well, he wants everyone to look at him.
He wants them, but I'm just curious about it. So, look, this is the show. This is not the show. This is real life. So my question to you, do you think that there is any follow-up that you would... I mean, when you leave and you get in your car,
yes,
and the show is over and all right, the hype is over and we're sitting, do you ever just sit there and I wonder. Would that happen regarding this discussion at all?
You know what?
Because I didn't see it coming until the problem child.
Don't think so. Because we've had, we've talked to him about drugs and all the problems with it. Because we
actually take a bite out of crime.
We had a really discussion about some of his friends were caught vaping. I said, you can't do that. He says, it's untested. You've got cancer on both sides of your family. You've had cancer. And he said, I would never do that. So, I mean, unless he's got us totally snowed, and frankly, of the two kids, I don't think he's bright enough to trick us as parents.
Well, let me stop you right there, because I'm getting, I feel for, the kids of my coworker here. When you're doing it, do you think that unless he's got us totally snowed, but has it ever even really come up with him? I mean, you can't snow somebody if they're not, you know what I'm saying?
You mean drugs?
I wouldn't do it. Yeah. I bring it up with my daughters periodically.
I've discussed it.
And it's terrible when they're in their 20s because they've done it.
Of course.
And so I kind of go, oh God. Mm-hmm. But have you brought it up with him?
Yeah, we've discussed it before and told him
how important it is. When was the last time you brought it up with him?
Probably earlier this year, maybe February, right. March, sometime around there.
Pony's got some insight.
Yeah, what are his snacking habits?
What do you mean?
Like, what is he, when he gets home, what does he grab to eat?
He loves to eat a lot of salty and sweet snacks, and what happens, he has almost an insatiable appetite. What's weird, Pony, is a lot of times he will get a towel of some sort and wet it, and then he goes up to his bedroom and seals off the bottom of the door. I think it has something to do with the air conditioning. And then he's upstairs for 10 or 20 minutes, and then he comes down and he's hungry again.
So weird.
And then he says, Dad, where are the Cheech and Chong DVDs?
All right. Relax for a second. Pony,
yes.
You brought up the snacking. What should Rob be looking for?
Oh, Funyuns and any kind of like really, really salty snack. Like
Doritos.
Like, you want to see something really salty, keep talking to me right now, okay?
Wow.
Like someone's frosting getting hostile. Disappearing or something.
He was two and a half.
Did he hit the snacks when he got home?
No.
Are you aware of that? No.
He eats on his own schedule, but he's not a big snacker. What he likes is...
Is he a social eater?
No, that would be Pop. That would be me. Yeah. Okay. Social. Okay. Friends, come over. We're going to eat. We're going to eat a lot.
What is a social eater? What the hell is a social eater? A stress eater. I've heard stress eating.
Why do you even question when he makes something up? Just roll with
he's
it.
He's back.
Yeah, he's back.
And
he's
I'm just
back,
trying
baby.
To figure out his
baby.
English. That's it. I'm trying to.
So
I'm
back to the
understand.
Weed problem.
Yeah, yeah. You know what's really cool about Julia is she only uses opioids.
Oh, no,
oh God!
Come
stop
on.
That! Stop it!
Hey, it's the princesses, man.
I had no idea the napping in the basement might be something that
it was
a
one-time incident.
Sign.
I will keep my eyes peeled if that pleases you, but I don't think the boy is on drugs.
Rob, I don't think weed's a bad drug. I'm just saying at
frankly,
an early age.
No, the problem is
at
this.
At an early age, you just got to say, look, everything in moderation,
no, the
man.
The problem is this. We got no money for a habit like that.
Fairly cheap.
No, not as cheap as that. If he wants anything, drink. I've got a liquor cabinet. He can go to town there, and that's mostly legal, and I know the deals.
Anyway,
I'm hoping that I'll get an apology out of him before the cruise, because I don't want it to be awkward on the cruise.
Okay. All right. Well, you could demand it. You know,
but then that sort of rings hollow, don't you think?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
maybe
say
I'll
something
have Carrie
to you?
Speak to him to say, you know, it'd be really great if you could apologize to your
talk
dad.
To your pop.
Yeah, talk to
your
dad.
I have a 5-year-old, and he is already starting to say things that I seem to only remember I said to my parents when I was 13 or 14.
Oh, no, that's the worst time.
You know, you hate me.
Yeah.
That type of thing. I didn't think 5-year-olds, I think he's sophisticated in the communication, so I'm going to be worse than you are. I'm going to be calling mediators.
Well, you know,
13.
You probably.
You know, I'm going to be just saying, I'm not, you know, because I'm going to be an 80-year-old man walking around here going, I didn't think it was very appropriate for you to use that language in front of your mother. And then he's going to be sitting there, you know, smoking a cigarette in the kitchen going, back off, old man.
Shut up, Gramps.
Shut up, Grandpa. You know.
Time for you to get some sun.
All right. And then I'm going to say, you know what? I'm going to ride that stairlift upstairs. You go to bed.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeOMaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.